Well, good morning and happy Easter. It's good to be with you this morning. If you're new to Trinity, we're glad you're here because I'm new as well. So if this is your first or second Sunday, you're with me as well as I start on staff here. It's good to be with you here. But you come to Easter morning and you come to expect a message of hope, a message of encouragement, to be energized by a story of Jesus' death and resurrection. Why do we want stories that is like a faith booster to us? Because usually on a daily basis, on a yearly basis, on a weekly basis, we go through times of discouragement. We go through times of doubt and despondence and depression even for some of us in this room. We have times of denial and we have times of doubt. So we come to Easter as a time to hopefully be boosted and encouraged and hear a message of hope. But we find ourselves in these places. I don't know about you, but you will find yourself either in that place today of despair or despondence or doubt, either this week or next month. We're either usually in the season of that, coming out of the season of that, or going into it. And we find ourselves in that, and we sometimes feel like we're alone in these times of despair and discouragement and doubts and denials. You feel like I'm the only one. You stare at the cracks in the ceiling as you lay there in bed, and you're like, am I alone? And the good things, friends, you're not alone. On the first Easter, the disciples and those who had followed Jesus for 3 years were sitting there in their houses wondering, where is this Jesus, this rabbi, this teacher that we followed for 3 years? They were in that place of discouragement, depression, defeat, and despondency, and wondering, has death swallowed up our teacher, Jesus? You're not alone in this room. You're not alone in the world of finding yourselves in that place. You see, Jesus died. He was sitting in a grave, and there was nobody waiting outside the tomb going, is he going to rise again? No, there were only two guards waiting outside guarding it. There was nobody sitting there watching CNN or watching the news going, is he going to rise again? No, they were sitting at home in this place of despondence, despair, and doubt. But the resurrection changed everything. What we celebrate on Easter, the big idea is this today. As we take this home, the resurrection enables transformation. We find our place in these places of doubt, despair, despondency, but the resurrection enables, transforms, and enables transformation in our daily lives. So this morning, as we look at the scriptures, we're going to look at Luke chapter 24. And as we look at the narrative of Jesus' resurrection in Luke chapter 24, I hope that you will find yourselves maybe in one of these characters. Because one thing about the Bible and the story of the Bible, these characters are not sterile. They're not people of super faith. They're regular human beings, average Joes like you and I. They're questioning this whole thing of Jesus. So if you have a Bible, if not, the text will be on the screen, I believe. In Luke chapter 24, the narrative picks up here. It says this, but very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking spices they had prepared. They found the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in. But when they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus, as they stood, they were puzzled. They stood there puzzled. Where is Jesus? He's not there. It was this place of perplexity. It was a place of loss of words. And maybe you're here on Easter, and maybe you think about Jesus' death and resurrection, and you are perplexed. You are puzzled. Is this really true? Is this really true that Jesus died and he rose again? What is going on? He's not here. And maybe that's where you're at this morning, puzzled like these lazies about the resurrection. But the narrative goes on and says this, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. They proclaim for the first time that Jesus has risen from the dead. I wonder what they were thinking. They probably right away weren't going like, yeah, that's true. They were trying like, wait a minute. First, there's people in dazzling clothes. These angelic beings have appeared in this tomb, probably frightened them, of course. And now these angels proclaim something. But it probably wasn't their point of faith there. They probably needed to begin to experience and see Jesus for themselves. But what did they do once they heard this news? Did they just sit on their hands? Did they just sit here in the tomb and go, I guess we'll just wait here for him to show up? What did they do once these angelic beings proclaim that he is risen from the dead? Well, the narrative goes on and says this. Then they remembered what he had said. He said this. They remember that Jesus had told them that he would die and be raised again. They remember that it was like triggered in their mind. Like, do you remember he talked about this? So when they realize it, what do? He says, so they rushed back from the tomb to tell the 11 disciples. They rushed. Now, I've never run in a skirt or a toga or something, but they probably picked it up and ran right there because they were so excited that Jesus had been risen from the dead. And who was it? It was Mary Magdalene, Joanne, Mary, and the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. Significant little fact here is Jesus chose women to be the ones who proclaim. Luke decided to record that. Women who weren't able to even be witnesses in the court of law of the day because of their gender. But God, because God's created women and men in an image and likeness with dignity, value, and worth, he chose women to be the witnesses to say, this is really true. If I were to write the narrative, I wouldn't have chose women of this day. I'm not saying I'm sexist. I'm just saying because they weren't good witnesses. They were not witnesses in the court of law. But God values every single human being, no matter where they're at, and he chose them. And they proclaimed it, and it says this, but the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. You've got to be kidding. This is absolute nonsense, the disciples said. And they didn't believe this. They said, this is foolish. This is a tall tale. This is like Ripley's Believe It or Not, if you remember that. Believe it or not. No way he could be raised from the dead. They didn't believe it. Maybe you're there this morning. This whole thing of church and somebody dragged you here this morning, it's just nonsense. Let's get to the pancakes and the sausage and let's get to the ham later. Do the family thing and I'll put my card in. Maybe you're there this morning. It's nonsense and disbelief. We're so glad you're here. And it's okay to be where you're at. We encourage you to look at this Jesus more and more in your own life. If you're at that place, it's okay. We encourage you just to look at who this Jesus is. But the story goes on. However, Peter, now if you know this dude Peter, Peter denied Jesus. I don't know him. He's going to the cross. I don't know him. But Peter, it says, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. He stooped and he appearing in and saw the empty linens wrapped. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. So Peter is at this place of wonderment, a state of perplex. Could this really be? Could this really be that Jesus rose from the dead? This teacher that I've learned from showed me what life is really like, died this death, this gruesome death that I just saw 48 hours earlier. Could this really be that he really rose? I am just wondering this, Peter says. And maybe you're at that place this morning, wondering, could this really be true? That Jesus rose from the dead, it could be actually transforming to my life and my place of despondency, despair, depression, and doubt, and disbelief, and facing death, every single one of us. Could it really be? And in verses 13 through 35, we won't look at those this morning, but the narrative goes on that two guys are walking to Emmaus, and Jesus starts walking with them. And they don't know it's Jesus, and they're pondering, they're talking about what had gone on. And over time, of Jesus talking to them and him opening their eyes, they realize that Jesus is with them. Jesus says, let's break bread together. And their eyes were open. They realize this is Jesus. And the story picks up in verse 36, and it says this. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing among them. They had gone back to the disciples, and Jesus is standing amongst them, and he says this, peace be with you, he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they had seen a ghost. No joke. How many of you have ever been to a funeral? And you went expecting to see somebody in a casket. It was empty, and the person that was dead came up and stood next to you and put their arm around you. Would that be startling and frightening? And that's where they're at. This friend, this teacher, this rabbi who they'd walked with for 3 years, eaten fish with, hiked through the mountains of Israel, the one that they expected to be in the grave now is standing next to them. No kidding, it's frightening. And maybe your thought of someone coming back to death and standing next to you like zombies would be frightening. But it says this. Jesus says, why are you frightened? He asked. And why are your hearts filled with doubt? Listen, the great thing about this here is Jesus is asking questions. He is not pointing a finger and saying, why are you doubt, you idiots? He merely says, why are you doubting? The God of the universe, that Jesus Christ, who became one of us, wants to meet you where you're at. And he does that by asking questions. Because when someone asks you a question, it's self-revealing. Why do I doubt? And you have to think about it yourself. Jesus is not condemning their doubt here. He's merely asking a question about their doubt. And so if you're sitting here this morning and you doubt who Jesus Christ is, that he died the death you deserve and was raised to life to give you the life that you don't deserve, the question Jesus is asking you, why do you doubt? And we here at Trinity want to journey with you in your doubts. And it's okay to doubt. And maybe you've been following Jesus for a long time, and then you wake up in a morning and you're like, I doubt. That's where the gospel comes in. We have doubts. We have wonderment. It's like all these characters on a regular basis. And Jesus meets us where we're at. And Jesus is meeting these men and these women where they're at. Why are your hearts filled with doubt? It's okay to be where you're at. It's not okay to stay where you're at in your doubts. Continue to look and to press into Jesus no matter where you're at in your spiritual journey. Well, the story goes on and says this. And Jesus says, okay, look at my hands, look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me. Make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. As he spoke, he showed them his hands and feet. That he's like, look at me. I'm not a figment of your imagination. I'm not a hallucination. I'm really here. This happened to me this week as I moved here. People are like, touching me. They're like, you're really here. I've heard your voice. I've seen you on a video screen. You're really here. Literally, people are touching me like, wow, this is just like Jesus. I am not Jesus. But the great thing is, God says, okay, you might not get it intellectually, but I'm going to show you tactilely, touch me, I'm really here. The one you've listened to, the one you've journeyed with, I'm really risen. But look at this next verse, in verse 41. I love the cocktail of emotions and thoughts in this verse. Because there's not one emotion, there's not one thought, there's not one feeling always going on inside of all of us. And the verse says this, still they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. I love that it describes this reality of what's going on in their hearts, minds, and soul, because it's okay to be in this place of, I wonder about this, but joy at the same time and disbelief, it's a cocktail of emotion that's going on inside of them in this moment and their reaction. And maybe that's where you're at this morning. You're like, I kind of believe, but this is incredible and joyful if it's really true. And he asked them, do you have anything to eat? Anything here to eat? And he gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it and watched. And they watched. And the narrative goes on. It says this. Then he said, when I was with you before, I told you that everything was written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to the understanding of Scripture. Because what they were talking about on the road of Emmaus and what he's saying here is all the things from Genesis to Revelation point to me. Everything from Genesis to the last prophets in the Old Testament point to me. Like was talked about on the video before I got up here, talking about all the Scriptures have pointed to Jesus, and he opened their eyes to understand this is what it's all about. A mystery of what God did in opening their eyes, but they came to an understanding of who Jesus is in that moment. They had known some things, but they didn't know everything. They didn't know everything, but they knew more then. He opened their minds. Has your mind been open? Has your heart been open to who Jesus Christ is, the death he died, and the resurrection for us? And the narrative goes on, it says this, and he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that the message would be proclaimed in authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Then he said this, there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. He says, if you really want to have this life, understand that the death I died the death you deserve and I raised to life to give you the life you don't deserve, you must do a U-turn in your life. Because every single human being is living for themselves, their own sin, and the flesh they're entrapped in. And we're all headed down this road of destruction to our lives now and for all of eternity. And Jesus basically says this word repent, which is basically like a U-turn sign. Repent is merely turn. You have been walking down this path for your own self, and he says, would you repent and receive forgiveness and turn towards me? It is a place of trust and belief. Would you trust that Jesus died and rose again, that you would find life? Because the resurrection brings transformation. It enables transformation when we receive the gift of Jesus' death and resurrection. But it's not just trusting that and living just because in getting the ticket out of hell card. But then he says this, you are my witness of all these things. And remember before that, he says, this message must be proclaimed. So we don't just trust it, but we tell the story. The disciples were not just to be with Jesus for 3 years, but they were being trained in a boot camp to go, not just trust him, but to go tell the story. So when our lives have been transformed by the resurrection, it's just not a place of trust, but it's a place of telling the story over and over of the life transformation that we have experienced through Jesus Christ. You will be my witnesses of all these things. It's a transformation of self by trust, and it can be the transformation of the South Metro area by us telling the story of Jesus to our friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers. You see, the resurrection enables transformation. As we've walked this narrative, you've seen people that wondered, they doubted, they were in disbelief, they were scared, they were frightened. And through this story, once they saw the risen Jesus Christ and they trusted, their lives are transformed. And we see this in the story of Peter, who walked with him for 3 years, doubted him, ran, stooped into the tomb, and then at Pentecost, a couple of weeks later, he goes from a person who denied him to a person who declares him. This morning, some of us are in a place of despair, whether a macro level of our whole lives or just micro moments of our own life. But the resurrection doesn't leave us at a place of despair like it left the disciples on the first Sunday morning. It brings hope to our life because he conquered the grave. You might find your place of discouragement because of financial situations, because of family situations, because of school situations. And we find ourselves in those places, but the gospel brings us a place from discouragement to the power of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. The same power that rose Christ from the dead resides in us to live a life of courage walking with him. We might find our place at a place of doubt on a regular basis, and his mercies are new every morning. I find my place at doubts at times as well. It's been a hard week. It's a wonderful week, but a hard week. And we go through doubts. It's not about just doubting who Jesus is, but we have doubts on a daily basis. So the resurrection is not just for our justification and faith. It is every morning gospel living that the resurrection, because he conquered the grave, we can have new life every day in him. It's just not way back when I accepted Jesus, but it's every day as a follower of Jesus Christ. We live in this place of the resurrection being transformation. And death is all around us. On the news, in front of us, no matter our age, no matter what. And death without the hope of the resurrection brings a lot of despair. But it's because Jesus conquered the grave. We know in 1 Corinthians 15, we will be raised again. And we will have eternal life from now forever with him. But it's just not about the resurrection getting us eternal life when our physical bodies die. No, the resurrection shows us what life is to be lived now, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because today, some of us live with no purpose and purposelessness in our life. But the resurrection enables transformation to go from purposelessness to having a purpose of living for Jesus Christ. That is what the gospel is about. It's a life of transformation. And notice the resurrection doesn't force transformation, it enables transformation. It's a gift for you to walk towards and to receive in that. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. Do you live with great expectation, as Peter says in that verse? Every morning, the adventure of living the resurrected life now, because the resurrection enables transformation in our lives. Are you living that life? At the end of service, there'll be people who will be up front here praying with you. But let me pray for us now, and the worship team will come up and we'll close in worship. Father, we are so thankful that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to be the Lamb of God who was slain And we are so thankful, Holy Spirit, that you rose Jesus Christ from the dead and conquered the grave. And may we walk in that resurrected life now, empowered by your Spirit. And we are thankful, Jesus, that you submitted to the Father, that you came to this earth, that you were sent, and that you were abandoned upon the cross. The weight of sin was upon you, and you conquered the grave by the life of the Holy Spirit. May we live that life of trusting you, turning towards you to where life is really found. Would we live that life of telling the story of the resurrected life? Would we live a life of hope? Would we live a life of transformation, not trying to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, but living in the empowerment of you and living in your grace and your mercy every morning in the resurrected life? We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.